You're saying the messaging is the issue today. So when you see a board member, from Petersburg or Wrangell, your interest is for SEEP as a whole. And so it's about a message, internal messaging. Is that what you're saying?
I would add to that, though, I think just over a year ago, probably at the December 18 meeting, the board members there really made a commitment to each other that this is one team, one fight. We're all one interconnected system. And if something is impacting one member utility, we need to be there to help each other out in times of crisis or need to get through this. So I think that's, even though there's a north-south divide, the group of board members that we have had has said we're here for each other.
Yeah, I think that was a great, I think it's a good point, and I just think we should make that in writing.
And so sort of just to capture it out through the messaging of the separated north and south, it's just the on the website, it's that communication company?
Just like originally. That's how it was set up, and I think that's continued.
Okay, yeah, so for the strength on that one, I captured all, you're basically all in the same boat in the crisis, and the weakness is that there's this perception of a north-south divide. Okay.
Well, it's not just a perception. I mean, fundamentally, structurally-wise.
Physically.
It's ingrained, because every year you've got one member rotating between north and south, and from where I sit, that does nothing to build unity within the organization, because if I'm here sitting in this Ketchikan member, and we have two votes this year, I think a year ahead, we'll have three votes, and the power shifts back and forth. It's not conducive, in my opinion, to board governance.
So we've got rotating board seats annually?
Well, and it's not just that. It's this floating seat that goes back and forth.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. So it's not just
I would list that also under the strengths, that that prevents a larger community from overbearing a smaller community. And that was, I mean, so it's a weakness, but it's also a strength. It provides a firewall to a larger community being able to, you know, move the agenda in a certain direction.
It has nothing to do with the size of the communities. Okay, it's about north versus south, and every year it shifts, right. And it's not about SEPA as an organization as a whole. No.
And that's a tough part, right? To know that the group is working together for everybody's benefit, and to be comfortable in that, you know, that all the board members, like Lisa said, are bought into this, that we're all in it together. If that were truly the case, and the PSA allowed it, then there wouldn't be a need to rotate. But
exactly.
But currently, it's ingrained in
the system. It is.
For sure. Well, that's why we're here, kind of, is to look at this. Is, you know, is the organization evolving to the point? I think, and Joel may even have some thoughts on this. I mean, when it was first developed, I wasn't here at that time, but I got the indication there was a lot of mistrust, and everybody was trying to find some common ground so we could get the deal done, right? So some of this original structure that is, I'll say, ingrained in our culture right now was part of that and part of that time. And, you know, and obviously these are opportunities for the board to rethink that is you know, is that still work for the organization, that structure, or that you know, it maybe does, maybe doesn't, but this is the opportunity to talk that through.
Well, I would say that over the arc of time, this time there's a lot more sense of unity amongst the member communities versus previous times that I've seen. And so that's a wonderful thing. The sort of defensive lawyer part of me tells me that, you know, there are some assets here that are particular to each community that each community needs to evaluate. And sometimes it gets in the way of efficient operation of the agency, but other times there's needed protection for not only the agency, but each of your member communities. And it's just that, that's, you know, when Kirk started up talking about that, that's what we were wrestling with, which is how do you protect this dedicated resource for each of your communities while at the same time coming together jointly to form this organization with all the wonderful benefits that you're outlining. So that it's built in as
to get away from the listing, I have a different take on that.
Yeah. Okay?
It was a trust issue when we first started. And the rotating board was a compromise or a solution to keep a check on the other side. You're thinking ahead, Carl, your honesty is correct. I mean, in sense that you're thinking ahead, next year I can do this. And they're saying, well, if they do it to us this year, we'll get them the next year. And that's sort of the balance. I didn't fully appreciate the group wanting to go this way, but you know there are simple solutions to it, and that is bring an independent board person in. It has nothing to do with the communities. But where I differ with what Joel just said is, SEPA owns these facilities. SEPA owns these facilities. The communities don't. They're in those communities, but SEPA owns them. And the deference through the board was to honor the communities that are in the, where the facilities are. And so we came up with a construct that certainly worked in the beginning, and it could be no different than the teenage child. It's evolving, and you need to think about some other way. You know, but I do hear an element of these conversations that are much more camaraderie than we faced writing this. But again, SEPA owns the facilities, and we deferred to the communities because of where they were. And we just can't break five up. You had to rotate it, and we had misgivings about it, but that's what pulled the deal together, I got to say.
So. And I agree with that. The only place that I would just sort of, not push back, but just sort of hold my line a little bit, is that SEPA owns the facilities. The communities determine ultimately the direction of SEPA because the board is made up of communities. And so although SEPA owns the facilities, we ultimately, that's why we're here today, and we're representing each, you know, although I have my SEPA hat on, I can't help but be the representative from Wrangell. It's just, it's part of the nature of the organization. You are representing the facilities that, you know, the Tai'i facility and the needs. I'm hoping that I'm looked at, at least it's looked at as a little bit of an expert about Wrangell's needs and where we're heading, and that's why we're from our community presenting.
Well, but, absolutely, and you're human, you're gonna have that kind of perspective. But my point is if you make SEPA a better organization, it benefits the community, period. Now, okay, one community might get a little more benefit than the other, but if you benefit SEPA, the communities benefit. And I think I would ask you to challenge yourself to get away from, well, they got more on that deal. But if you think about the whole, like say, for example, you're talking about a diesel. Let's say you put a diesel right in the middle. Well, everybody benefits from that. But one might use it more than the other. So you gotta figure that out. And that is the challenge. I mean, that is the challenge of this group and what's going on. But you want to bring your community perspective and needs to the table. But we want to make the whole better. Easy said than done.
So this obviously diverges a little bit from what the exercise is, but as a new board member, and we have new board members here, that is a struggle to answer that question. Our due diligence responsibility is to do what's in the interest of SEPA, not the interest of our community. I said that wrong. It's not for me to come here and I'm gonna do something for SEPA's umbrella that is directly benefiting, say, Ketchikan alone, right? I'm making a decision because it benefits Ketchikan. My understanding is that's not my job. My job is to do what's in the best interest of SEPA as a whole, which will benefit Ketchikan. And if I bring my experience from Ketchikan, so that like you said, you know best about what's going on in the community in Wrangell, but we know what's going on in Ketchikan. We can communicate our experiences, but our is it not our responsibility to do that is which is best for the organization?
So these were, I'm sorry,
I'm just going to ask for the elephant taxes, but I'll hold.
You can have the elephant. That's perfectly yours.
So, and I don't want to squirrel too far off on you. Really.
No, no, this is all good discussion.
I don't want to squirrel.
We're listening. Yeah, I
know squirrel. Incoming. The squirrel has been thrown.
You got to run the zoo before this is over.
the issue for it's, this is it. That when it comes to the facilities infrastructure overreaching, I think that's actually a no-brainer. I've never heard a board member say, "Why is Ketchikan getting that? Or why is Wrangell getting that?" Where it comes down to is, for at least in my community, is a fear that if the main mission of SEPA is to sell the power, if that is the main mission, and we sell the power out of our project through an intertie to another community, and we come up short to our community, we have no other source of power in our community. We turn our diesel on, and now we're paying diesel because SEPA may have met its mission, but if we don't have the power coming from Kai, which is our only source, then we turn our diesels on, and that costs our community. That's our fear. So it may be great for SEPA, it may be great for the overreaching organization, but it may not be great for that community, if that makes sense.
Well, and one thing I'm excited is that you just set up the next section, so that worked really well. But no, what
no,
I
you got a whole zoo.
Barnyard full.
Yeah, sure, that communities are our decision makers through the board. And so you feel that's a strength of the organization, of the agency.
Go ahead, Trey.
Oh, I just can keep adding to your list there a little bit.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Before we keep moving on with this, we gave you guys some flexibility on this last conversation because it was a really good one. And I think the historical comments that came out of the attorneys were really beneficial. So thank you guys for being here for that. So the big takeaways I got here, and this is really the defining part of what we're trying to do here, is the work that benefits SEPA benefits all. The work that benefits SEPA benefits all. And over here, the weakness is, if you take a limited view of what's in it for your individual municipal, it's going to be divisive and it's going to erode the benefit of SEPA.
So I understand we don't want to get into the minutiae or the weeds of individual topics, but I think it's important to recognize that it's not necessarily what is bad. It's not a SEPA versus what's best for any individual community. One of the conversations we have had over this last year is that sometimes what is in the best interest of SEPA is not what is in the best interest for the member utilities as a whole, not just any one of us individually. And so there has to be a mechanism for the board and SEPA to reconcile with each other when those things are in opposition to each other. That there's a very conscious decision made by the board as to how the organization moves forward in those instances. That's the issue that has to be addressed.
Well, I'm
trying to capture this.
Corollary of your statement, Scott, which is that which benefits SEPA benefits all member communities, can be reversed.
Correct.
I mean, that really, that which benefits all the community should benefit SEPA.
And so a question I have that does get a little more detail oriented is SEPA's role to give the communities 100% hydropower, that its capacity, or is it to provide 100% power to the communities? So that's like a distinction. Is SEPA going to pick up, you know, if it runs out of hydropower, is it going to pick up, as Bob's saying, generators, a main generator? And it's the main station, and then it provides generator power when we don't have it.
It's not its responsibility to it has what it has, and we've tasked Trey to sell all that we have. That's our goal. We don't want water spilling over.
Well, it's a mandate.
It's mandated. We want to sell all that we have. The only issue is, since the intertie, we have the ability. Kai, when it was put in place, was never went down all the way because we didn't have the demand. We did a very smart thing, put in an intertie, opened a huge, massive market, and allowed for some projects to work concurrently. But we've run into an issue with the droughts, where where the water in one of the reservoirs, or both reservoirs, I guess, too low. But the question is that if the mandate is to sell all of the water that you have available, and that leaves somebody, one of the member communities, high and dry, do you just say, this is best for SEPA, so that's good?
So I think that unless we have anything else to add to the internal strengths and weaknesses,
I got a few things.
We'll move on, but okay.
Okay, let's keep going. So we're going to shorten the other section, so we'll tighten that up, but go ahead.
There's just a couple of big things. I mean, you can look up at the list up there, right? One of our strengths is, you know, we're financially strong. That allows us to do things that perhaps other folks can't do. I think one of the examples given before is that each individual community would have a hard time pulling off a larger project. Part of our financial strength is if you go through a bond process, they actually look at all three communities collectively. So grouped together, we're stronger. And of course, just our bottom line for doing our capital projects and stuff, those are pretty huge.
For sure.
And I just for a second on Tori's comment there, I think that was a good comment because he's looking out beyond his toes of what we got today, right? And that's why we should be. It may be a consideration of the board as an example. The board could decide on a policy that says we want to be 100% renewable. You know, regardless of cost, that's our goal. And that they're doing that a lot now in the States. They say by such and such date, we're going to be 100% renewable. If that was the stance of the board looking down the pike saying in, you know, 2030, we want to be 100% renewable, and then task the agency with going in that direction, then, you know, we would put in works the mechanisms to go out and build another hybrid of sorts or some other type of renewable. So I think that was a good comment. I didn't want to let that fall. Okay.
Do you have anything else, Trey?
No, I'll let everybody else come.
I'm good. Jeremy, for internal.
Somebody else?
No. So for internal, we've spent a lot of time talking about our founding documents. Our founding documents have stood the test of time. They're really strong in allowing this agency to flourish. So that has to be an internal benefit. The RSAL's agreement is an internal thing. The joint action agency, oh my gosh, what a benefit to all our ratepayers with that document. So anyway.
Robert, I'd add to that too. One of the nice things about our internal documents is they're not super stringent. So it adds the flexibility, so it gives the board more flexibility to make decisions over time. And that's a key component of why the organization is so successful, and it allows us the flexibility to evolve as an organization. I think we would agree as well.
Yep.
I just kind of have a question with regard to what was said. It has to do with the founding documents. Do they allow SEPA the autonomy to grow? Meaning that they seem to me that they're very rigid in what we discussed earlier, dedicated, additional dedicated, and so on and so forth. That to me seems like it would require some major structural changes for this organization to grow generation. So do those mounting documents allow autonomy to grow? Or do we have to, as a board, make structural changes to them in order for that to happen?
Depends.
Right.
I think they do.
I do too.
Right. Yeah. Here are the elements, and I'm moving ahead in the program here, but this is your joint action agency agreement. This is the specific language out of Section 3 of your state of the agency. This is the guts of what you do. And this top bullet is really the only defining element in terms of your look forward. The rest is logistics. Taking on debt, who's responsible, what kind of agency you are, you're not a state agency, powers that are conferred are essential to your operations, and you don't have a dissolve date. That's this top line here Alaska Public Corporation, and an instrument of its of the member utilities. That's really the only defining element of your and your JAA. So again, it's wide open, and that's why it's so important as a board that you provide direction. And it's really up to you guys. And to their credit, I mean, when these guys put these documents, when your attorneys put these documents together, they left them wide open for that purpose. And it's great from the standpoint of where we come from, because we don't see this very often. We don't have an opportunity to facilitate a conversation that really has such an impact, an immediate impact on the direction of the organization, because most of the time the enacting documents have it very specifically stated exactly what the work of the organization is to be. So, sorry, you made me skip ahead. I couldn't help myself.
That's good. I don't have to cover it.
So okay.
It's a bit of, and the difference being between the bylaws, the power sales agreement, and the joint action agency agreement, and some of the rigidity that you probably heard is in the PSA, the power sales agreement, and sometimes that can be confused because that's actually determining how you're handling the generation from the facilities. But then the joint action agency agreement should, as a total document, governs the body. And then what we focused on was truly that section 3, given that it's a full document in and of itself. But when we were in there looking for what we would consider the direction it gives for the activities, it was section 3 that we focused on.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, with that, are we ready to talk values? We're gonna transition over. So Eddie's going to lead this part of the conversation, and we're looking at page, which page are we looking at?
We're looking at
14, is that right?
Page, we'll make sure it's on
there. Oh, here we go. Yeah, page 14.
Can I just have a quick comment to the order?
Yeah, please.
Section G, 3G of the TSA talks about the individual signature pages for and how it would be treated.
Of the power cells.
I can sign. The